He's called the Dirt Doctor. You can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thanks, Logan, and welcome everybody back to this show on Easter Sunday. Happy Passover to everybody as well. We are doing our usual thing today, taking calls. Had some interesting questions come in already, and we would appreciate more. So give us a call whenever you hear somebody hang up. It's 866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you by fertilizers that help sponsor the show. Some of them, Maestro Grow, Rhodey's Green Sense products, Nature's Guide, and Medina. And one of the reasons I wanted to highlight fertilizers is there's awful bad advice out there about fertilizing. A lot of the synthetic fertilizer pushers are saying now it's finally time to do that. Those of you that are into organics or thinking about doing it, you can fertilize with organic fertilizers right now. You're actually a little late. Now, it's not going to hurt anything that you're late, but when you're really into it, we fertilize earlier in the year because we start building the soil, building the biology in the soil before things even start growing. And then when they start growing, the tops start growing, they really take off, and it's a great benefit. But the nice thing about organic fertilizers, natural organic fertilizers, is that they can literally be used any month of the year. And you can put them out while it's raining, before it rains, after it rains. No fear of burning. They don't volatilize. They don't leach away. They don't wash away like the synthetic fertilizers do. If some of you are still using weed and feed synthetic fertilizers, those are absolutely the worst. They aren't designed to be used at the same time. The ingredients in them are not, they're not to go out at the same time. Well, they're in the same bag. How can they not be put out at the same time? So they're really bad in all kinds of ways. The fertilizer part leaches, volatilizes, washes away. The herbicidal part of it is damaging to biological activity of the soil, the plants, and you and your pets, especially the pets. The poor pets are running around with their bare paws on the ground. And when you put out these 2,4-D and pre-emergent herbicides and all these kind of things, you're really subjecting the pets to some awfully bad stuff. There's more and more evidence that they're more sensitive to it than we are walking around with our shoes on. So, you know, those bare noses in the ground and in the landscape, and also the bare paws always touching that ground is something that the Victor people agree with me on, that you don't need to be doing. Victor pet food is Victor pet. VictorDogFood.com to see the incredible line of products that they have that I recommend. So check that out as well. Let's see what we need to do before we go to the phones. I don't think a thing. Bill in Marlin is next up. Marlin, Texas, I assume that is, Bill.
Yes, sir. Good Easter morning to you.
Same to you, sir. What's up?
Well, I think you just answered my question about dry molasses. We did the deed yesterday and got the garden planted. And but I was looking at coming back and using my tow behind spreader, had to go buy me a new one, and putting dry molasses out on the patch and go from there. But the second question is, this is just for information only. The old Farmer's Almanac used to say to plant after Good Friday and wait for the mesquite leaves to start coming out before you planted anything.
Yeah. Well, that's not bad advice. When the mesquites do leaf out, and a few other late blooming kind of things, late leafing things come out, you know, that's a pretty good indicator. But the mesquite is as good as anything, and I think they have leafed out now.
Well, I've cut down all the ones around my place. I'm tired of flat tires.
Yeah, I understand that. No, it's time. I think, you know, we're always guessing there could be a very strange late freeze, but we're planting all kind of flowers and perennials and vines that are loaded with blossoms and everything else at our house. So we're betting on the fact that we're not going to have any more freeze.
I hope so.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Have a good Sunday.
Okay, you too, Bill. Thanks for calling. Yeah, we planted some new Confederate jasmine. Somebody couldn't hold and wanted me to comment on vines for an arbor, so I'll just do that. We just planted Confederate jasmine, and I mixed it in with some of the Carolina jessamine. And it's a little too shady for the Carolina jessamine. I just kind of rolled the dice to see if maybe we could get away with it. The Confederate jasmine will do fine in the shadier spots. And the Carolina jessamine with the yellow flowers, Confederate has white flowers, very fragrant. And we've got those two together now, and the Confederate will probably outrun the jessamine by a long way. And so that's two, actually, vines that I would recommend. Carolina jessamine will be more evergreen out in the sun than the Confederate. Confederate will also tend to get killed to the ground in our zone 8 in Dallas. If we have really, really heavy freezes, it'll come back from the ground, but it's not going to be a dependable evergreen for you. Other choices, one evergreen choice that's native to this part of the world is crossvine, or iron crossvine. Has flowers in the spring that range from yellow to red, some combination of colors, and it's a good one for you to consider. Of course, grapes and wisteria and all those kind of things are also for consideration for your arbor. We have, we also have fall clematis, which is a fall blooming, small white flowers clematis, and it's terrific. It has wonderful fragrance, and it's very dependable, dies the ground usually, and comes back from the ground. And also, if you can find this, well, any passion flower would be worth considering. If you can find a white one like we have, I got my start from Bob Webster, Shades of Green, down in San Antonio, and it stayed evergreen this winter. It never even turned. I've got to get up and trim it back because we already have trimmed it out of the – it climbed the arbor and got into the eastern red cedar, and we had to cut it back. Very aggressive. But just gorgeous, smallish, white, pure white. The entire flower, all parts of this passion flower are white, and it's terrific. A little bit invasive, but not much. Kind of pops up a little bit here and there. And I've discovered that when you have a little shoot pop up here and there, go over and pull it out and stick it in a pot, and it'll root in there, and you've got one for some other place or some to give to some friend. So those are some of my favorite vines that I really like to use. I've got a tropical passion vine, and we kept it in the greenhouse, planted it, and it hadn't started growing very well yet, and I hope it's going to do fine. It has red flowers. The ones that are perennial and easiest to find are the purple ones, or purple and white. Some, especially the native one that we have, is aggressively spreading, an aggressive spreader, and can become a little invasive. So be careful about that. Lynn in Chicago next up. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Howard. I'm new to your show, and my question is on lawn grubs.
Uh-huh.
In the last, I'd say, 6 years, twice I've had my entire front lawn turned totally brown, and I've attributed it to possibly lawn grubs. It started off in spots and then just kept growing.
Right.
I've used I guess you would call it a synthetic product to try to treat the lawn, and I just was wondering if there was some kind of organic that might work a little better.
You bet. There sure is, and there's a couple things I'd recommend to you, Lynn. one of the general treatments that we use here in the South, and it works anywhere in the country, including Chicago for you guys, is beneficial nematodes. Beneficial nematodes are these microscopic worms that you buy from mail-order companies, somebody like Arbico or Hydro Gardens. They'll ship them to you packed in dry ice or something, so they're very well protected, and they are put out, and they will kill pests in the ground like grub worms. The other thing you might want to take a look at, Malcolm Beck and I wrote a book called The Texas Bug Book. It has Texas in the name of the book, but it also applies a lot of the things that we have in there elsewhere. And one of the things is to put up traps for the June bugs that are the parents of the grub worms. You might want to take a look at that. I'm out of time for this segment. Let me put you on hold. I'll talk to you off the air, and we'll talk about that trap for everybody when I come back. Howard Garrett, don't go away.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here for Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and are naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love the Victor. I feel strongly that your dogs will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised. surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back. Number's 866-444-3478. Let's go to Springfield, Illinois, and talk to Ray. Hi, Ray.
Yeah, hello. This is Ray from Springfield, Illinois.
Yes, sir.
Listening to you guys through WCPT on the internet.
Okay, great.
I have one of those aero gardens. I got a deal on it. You know, it's got like a light on top and, you know, container full of water. It's got like a little pump like... you know, for a fish tank, it blows water into it. I'm growing some tomatoes. I've gotten the plants so far to they're about 4 to 5 inches, maybe six, and I've had to push them to the side past the light fixture. They're just too tall, so I was wondering how do I transplant them? What do you suggest?
Well, what are they growing in now? What's the medium?
I'm sorry?
What's the medium that they're growing in?
Oh, water.
Just in water. Okay, well.
Yeah, and you should see, there's plenty of roots, but they're not, the tomatoes are about pencil thick, maybe.
Uh-huh. Well, here's the issue, Ray. A plant develops a completely different root in water than it does in soil.
Mm-hmm.
And you can try to transplant them over, but they're into soil or, which is what I'd recommend, organic potting soil. But they're going to suffer right at first. It would have been better to have started them in the soil to begin with. The only other thing you could do is use the system that you have and set up some larger containers of it and move them over so they start in the water. A lot of plants will form roots in water, but I always warn folks that are propagating, in other words, creating roots on a plant in water, that is a completely different kind of root than will develop in the soil. So when you make the transplant, they're not going to be happy for a while. They're going to have to literally re-root a different kind of root system to get going and survive, and there's going to be some stress involved. So I'm just warning you, it may be tough to make the transition.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, appreciate the call. And next time, yeah, it'd be better just to try to start them in soil. I'm not a big fan of growing plants in water. You know that, and a lot of people get frustrated with that because they're set up to do that kind of stuff. But soil is the most important thing there is in growing things, and leaving it out tends to be a problem, it seems to me. There's an open line at 866-444-3478, and I forgot to do something I promised to do. The trap that I was talking to the caller from Chicago for grub worms, the way it works is you set up a bucket. What we have in the Texas Bug Book, the photograph in there, is a galvanized, silver galvanized bucket that's about a, oh, I think the one Malcolm used that we shot, the photograph is in there of, is about a two-gallon container. The handle, whatever, and you can use plastic container or whatever you want to use, doesn't make any difference, but it needs to have a handle on it because what you do is you rig up a 40-watt light bulb to hang right down below, right at the top of the container, and then down in the bottom of the container you put 2 or 3 inches of water with either a bunch of soap in it or an essential oil product like I talk about all the time for spraying plants. You could use the mound drench formula, or you could use just the orange oil portion of the mound drench that we use to spray and kill insects and drench on fire ant mounds. And anyway, the June bugs are attracted to the little 40-watt light bulb, and they either hit it and they fall in or they are just flying around and end up hitting the water. But you will catch a lot of insects in this little simple trap, and then they can be, you know, tossed into the compost pile. But if you want to see it, what we actually did, I don't know if I have a picture on the website or not. You can go to June Bugs and a couple of different things. Maybe we've got that photograph in the library of dirtdoctor.com, but it's in the book, the Texas Bug Book, for sure. Let's go to Fort Worth and talk to Neil next. Hello, Neil.
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Loving the rain.
Well, I tell you, we've got nice rain, but it looks like it's moving out on us over here. You're in Fort Worth, is it?
It's still coming down, not steady, but sporadically.
Okay, cool.
I've got a bee problem. The other day I came home from work, and I've got a little breezeway between the garage and the kitchen, and just outside the kitchen door there was a swarm of bees overhead.
Uh-huh.
And I got to looking, and I realized they were going up. There's about a 1-inch square gap between the fascia board and a support beam for the roof, and they're going in there and nesting. And I didn't, you know, normally I love bees, but what little reading I did, it looks like they're carpenter bees, and I need to get them out of there.
You think they're carpenter bees instead of honeybees?
Yeah, they're black, and they are, you know, for sure going up in there.
Okay.
And so, you know, I don't want to kill them. I've got some orange oil, but I tried smoking them out, and that didn't work. So I'm looking for, you know, some kind of solution that doesn't involve killing them if I can help.
Well, the only other thing you could do is get a beekeeper to come over and take a look and help you with it. Short of that, if they become dangerous or whatever, you're going to have to use some kind of essential oil or something like that to kill them, and I hate for you to do it too. So try to get one of the local beekeepers to come over and take a look.
Okay.
And go from there. Maybe they can save the hive if possible.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to ask you about is...
Tell you what, let me put you on hold and we'll chat off the air. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number is 866-444-3478.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard, back with you. Got one open line at 866-444-3478. Let's go to Nevada, somewhere in Nevada, and talk to Hugh. Hello, Hugh.
Hello.
What's up?
Well, I live in the high desert. It gets cold in the wintertime, pretty warm in the summertime. But
right.
I've tried planting pine trees, and that seems to be hard on our roses, too, but A lot of the trees and cottonwoods and everything thrive out there as long as we keep the water pumping to them.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm trying to dig into the soil there, and where I'm trying to dig, it seems like it's a couple inches of soft soil, and then you get down to a rock hard soil. You have to use a pickaxe, or you have to put water in it, and it can set for a day, and it still won't soak down into a good, and you get a couple inches out of it. So I didn't know what to do to prepare the soil for planting either some roses or some pine trees.
Well, Hugh, you have to do the same thing that we do here in Texas above White Rock. You know, we have caliche, and then below that we'll run into real hard limestone and shale. And so we deal with that all the time. My front yard is basically that way. Using the natural organic techniques, if you pull that soil out and then backfill with that same soil and use organic fertilizers and organic amendments and the Garrett juice mixture and everything. The roots have an incredible ability to break through and grow into and around rock. The thing that some people have to do when they have a situation that just doesn't drain at all, and it's pretty smart what you've done to run a perk test, fill those holes and see how quickly the water goes away. If the water just sits there and won't soak in at all it'll do is evaporate. What you have to do in those kind of cases is break not only the hole, but take a ditch from the hole over to a lower area and fill that ditch that you've created with gravel so that you have positive drainage. The only other thing you can do is just go up more, which we do all the time. We'll, on a really rocky place where we know we have impenetrable rock that won't drain for whatever reason, we'll set a tree literally on the top of the ground and then build soil up to it. So we've created this raised soil area where the root ball of the tree is, and the trees love that kind of condition.
All right. Now, we've got horses, and we've got a few cattle, and we can use horse manure work pretty well, doesn't it?
Oh, sure. If you compost the manure of any animal first, it's the best fertilizer you can possibly use. That's nature's own, you bet.
Okay, well, it's already it's already mulched pretty well because it's been on top of the soil for so long.
That's fine. That's great. That's a great product.
Okay.
You bet.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Then you basically say you dig in there and you can run a leach line out of it then, so
yep.
It'll take...
Yeah, if,
okay.
if you go down, if that doesn't work or if that seems to be too much trouble or too expensive, just go up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I sure do appreciate the help. Thank you.
Thank you, Hugh. Appreciate the call. Open line at 866-444-3478. Patrick in Chicago again. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing, Howard? Love the show here.
Well, thank you, sir.
I got a landscaping company called Patch here in Chicago, and I've tried my best on getting a gardenia plant to grow indoors. Bought a couple of gardenias, put them together. I know they're a very stressful plant. Popped them in there. They were going great. They'd start to bud, waiting for the beautiful moment of these things popping open and showing their flower. Never happens. Always kept dropping. And it was driving me bananas. And I finally, the plants just started dying off one by one, so I just scrapped them. But I stayed at it for a whole summer here because I wanted to get them outside. And I understand that you can't move them a lot because they get stressed real easy if you move them. I was feeding them with the acid Miracle-Gro stuff or something similar to it to feed the root ball, but... What's the trick on a gardenia?
Okay, I got a simple solution for you. It's two steps, okay? First of all, get rid of the Miracle-Gro and the other similar products. Those are synthetic, water-soluble salt products, and we don't recommend them, and that's part of your problem. But the bigger part of your problem is that gardenias need to be outside. Gardenias need full sun. One of the things we learned here in Zone 8 here in the south is we used to think gardenias like being kind of in a shady situation like azaleas and hostas and things like that, but we found out that if the more direct sun they got, the better they do. When you put a gardenia in the house, it's just a really artificial situation for them. Even if you've got big windows and skylights over them and all that, you're still giving the gardenia way, way, way less light than it likes. And the gardenia, as you know, the hard way here, is very susceptible when in stress to insects and diseases and just kind of fading away. So if you want to do gardenias, you're going to have to get them out in the full sun.
Yeah, but I can't do that in Chicago all the time, especially not year-round, you know.
Well, you can do them in pots, and you can just protect them during the really cold in the winter, and you may be able to get away with that. If you can't, you'll just simply have to deal with them on a seasonal basis, almost like a big annual plant. The only way you're going to keep them relatively happy inside is to do some very strong artificial light over them, and then when it's warm enough, get them back out to where they get at least direct sun in the morning. That's kind of the key.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give that a shot then.
Okay. Good luck. Gardenia is not the easiest plant to grow. I wish it was easier, but it's just not. Martha in Dublin, Texas. Hi, Martha.
Well, hello.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. A happy Easter to you.
Same to you.
Uh-huh. Howard, I got an advertisement about a grow box. Are you familiar with it?
There's probably more than one on the market. I've played around with one that's black and about 3 feet long and a foot wide and a foot high. Is that the one you're talking
about?
Right.
Well, it's almost just like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was wondering what you thought about it for an old person.
They're not bad, Martha. They tend to be stocked when you get them with a potting soil that's mostly peat moss.
But this one don't come with the soil.
Oh, no soil, just the box.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good.
Well, and it also, new this year, it has organic fertilizer. It looks like a piece of cardboard or something over the top. I don't know what it is. But the organic fertilizer comes with it, and that's new this year.
Does it say what brand the organic fertilizer is?
No, but before I ordered it, I was going to ask them about it.
Yeah, see what it is. Sounds like that's a much better way to go, and that way you can go to the local garden centers and get some organic.
Yeah, I can get that. Well, we have plenty of horse and everything else out here.
Yeah, make your own potting soil or get some organic potting soil and plant it. And, yeah, I think that those boxes are fine. The other thing that I'm a little uncomfortable with is that most of them, the water's down at the bottom and it wicks up. Is that how that one works?
Yeah, this one does too. It says it holds 4 gallons of water.
Yeah. I'd rather water from the top, Martha, myself.
Uh-huh.
I think that's more natural and it's more healthy. But if it's not a real expensive kind of thing and it fits your budget, give it a shot and see how it works for you.
Well, I think I'm going to.
Okay.
I appreciate it, Howard.
Good luck, Martha.
Thank you.
See ya. And the open line is 866-444-3478. The one I tried had potting soil came along with it, and it was peat moss. I tried it, and it worked fairly well. I just have a lot more luck planting in the ground. But if people want to try these things and think it might be more convenient or whatever, try them. You know, give it a shot and see how it works for you. It's fun to experiment and see how things work in your situation. Norma, and also in Illinois, was calling. Hello, Norma. Let's get the button pushed. There you go. What's going on?
I'm in Missouri, actually.
Oh, okay.
And I had a question about, I just heard a gentleman talking to you about horse manure, and we just bought a farm, and I moved up here from Florida. Well, Missouri soil is completely different than Florida soil. So what I'm wondering about, can I still use my horse shavings up here? The bag shavings that we use in the stalls are pine shavings, and I always add a little bit of the cedar shavings to cut the odor. Is that a good thing or not? I'm wanting to put it in my garden, compost it in my garden of the veggies we eat.
Well, the pine shavings that are full of animal urine and manure are a great tool, a great source for gardeners, but you really need to compost it a little bit
before
it goes in the bed. Okay, you're fine then. It'd be a great thing to use. You bet.
Okay, I didn't know if the cedar shavings were going to be toxic or anything.
No, not
at all.
I'm trying
to go, okay.
I like
cedar.
That's
what I was concerned about.
I like the cedar.
Okay, sir. Well, that was my question, and I appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good Easter.
You too. Talk to
Thank
you later.
You,
good luck with your garden. Let's go to Bobby in Dallas. Not very many Dallas calls today. Hey, Bobby.
A blessed and happy Resurrection Day to you, Howard.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You're welcome. I have a question for you in regards to beneficial nematodes. How can I get them and order them? I thought I heard you say something about you can order them.
Beneficial nematodes or Trichogramma wasp, either one. Two main beneficials I recommend. You can get. You got a pencil?
Yes, sir.
Arbico, A-R-B-I-C-O.
B-I-C-O.
Arbico. It's arbico-organics.com, I think. And then the other company that has real high-quality nematodes, and they sell them in a different way. They come on a little blue sponge, actually. My buddy, Bob Webster, it's his favorite, as a matter of fact. It's called Hydro Gardens. Hydro Gardens, H-Y-D-R-O Gardens. I think it's all jammed together into one word, Hydro Gardens. They sell both of those. There's also a place down on the Texas-Mexico border. What's the name of the little town down there? Anyway, it's called Kunafin, K-U-N-A-F-I-N, Eagle Pass, I believe is where it is. Kunafin sells Trichogramma wasps. I don't think they sell the nematodes, but they sell incredibly high-quality Trichogramma wasps. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I got to run for just a minute. I'm Howard Garrett, and I'll be back right after this. Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Hard at work for over 60 years, Dram watering tools have been the professional's choice for quality and durability. Now you can create the softest shower of rain. 9 water patterns for a variety of uses. Or a lush green playground. Quality you can depend on for a lifetime. Dram, the professional's choice for lawn and garden. Available at a fine garden center near you.
Howard Garrett here for Chia Omega. You know, the healthcare professionals often recommend supplementation of omega-3 for cardiovascular health, joint comfort, and healthy cognition. I recommend the all-natural plant-based Chia Omega family of omega-3 formulas. They combine chia oil with ingredients like DHA, EPA, enzymes, CoQ10, and vitamin D3 for enhanced health benefits. You can find Chia Omega at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Howard back with you. Open line for you at 866-444-3478. Here's Patrick in Flower Mound. Hello, Patrick.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Happy Easter.
Same to you.
I started a compost pile a few months back. I bought a couple of rain barrels and a compost bin from them
okay.
in the city.
Uh-huh.
And I've been plagued with what you would call either fruit flies or gnats all over that thing. And I've tried to keep it at a 60-40 mix.
Is this a solid container that can't drain out?
It's solid, but it has holes all up the side, just all the way around.
So it does have drainage?
Yes.
Normally when you have that, it's staying a little bit too wet, Patrick, so you might look at increasing the drainage or put a lid on it of some kind.
Well, when I put the lid on it, they seem to increase.
Yeah, well, that's right. Mine, what we do is we take the scraps from the kitchen out to the basically to the back of the dog run, and I put it in. I've got about three metal containers there, and I put the stuff in these metal containers. And we have that, and we have the maggots of the black soldier fly, you know, in that wet mixture that is breaking down before it goes into the big compost pile. I've noticed that you can do a couple of things. You can spray an orange oil or some other essential oil and kill those adults that are flying around. You can also use BTI. BTI not only controls mosquito larvae, but it also controls fungal gnats as well, fungus gnats as well. So If they're fungus gnats, I don't know if it'll help with fruit flies or not. The orange oil, though, will definitely kill them.
Okay, sounds good. I got plenty of anything, sir.
Yeah, just try that. It's just the staying too wet that's the issue, and in that situation, it's hard to not be a little bit too wet.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll try to get a handle on that.
All right. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. And it's William's turn in Tyler, Texas. Hello, William.
Well, good morning, sir. Hey, you noticed last week that the WHO classified the glyphosates as 2B carcinogens.
Yeah, we did a newsletter on it.
Okay, I hadn't seen that in your newsletter. We'd take it. But this cover-up again, you know, Roundup, you know, all this stuff came in the 70s, Monsanto, and they've gone after everybody. They read studies, and they say it's bad science, and then they put pressure on editorial boards and these journals. But anyway, maybe this will really lead to something. But, you know, when they come out, hey, WHO carries some weight like this.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what we did the newsletter on last week. And we had, I told people in the first hour, I probably should mention it again, we had the most traffic on Facebook that we've ever had. 50,000 people looked at the newsletter that we put on Facebook about this connection to cancer, specifically non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And the current newsletter is about the uncovering the big bur oak tree in Waco that was the most dramatic root flare exposure ever done. And then the next one we're going to do, you'll really like, because it's a video of a fella explaining in very, very clear and easy to understand terms the technical goings on of glyphosate, exactly how it works, why it works, and also the relationship between autism and cancers and Parkinson's and all the other diseases. This Roundup stuff is some kind of bad, and they're really scrambling right now and they're doing what you said. They're coming out trying to counter with their arguments, but this time I think all this data and all has some legs. People are really starting to listen.
You know, this International Agency for Research on Cancer in England said they reviewed studies, 17 experts in 11 countries. They met in Lyon, France, and they said, hey, this stuff's got a real problem with it. Now, you know, Europe is set to reapprove glyphosates this year, and I don't know what's going to happen there, but this is bringing pressure even in Europe.
Yeah, I think that we might get something done finally. William, I appreciate it. Take a look at the last newsletter, and you'll see what sent out.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the call. It's we'll get started with John. We may not be able to finish in Colorado Springs. Hey, John.
Good morning, Howard. Happy Easter.
Same to you, sir.
Hey, I have a property that has, I don't know if it's ground, like voles, moles, or some kind of ground pocket gopher.
Okay.
I have tunnels, openings that I can see with some dirt kicked out.
Some kind of little beast, son.
Something.
Look for a repellent online in the garden centers, in the feed stores, farm stores, that contain hot pepper, castor oil, and other related herbs in the mix, and use that injecting it into the soil. There's also little devices that you can stick in the ground. They have a solar panel on the top of them. They vibrate every so many minutes, and they do a pretty darn good job of repelling the little beasts, and they're inexpensive. Here in Dallas, you can buy the product at the Harbor Freight Company. And it's
okay, we have that here.
Yeah, it's called a solar mole repellent or something like that. And they're very inexpensive, and they do work. You may have to use more than one of them, but give that a shot. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else, because I'm going to have to ease out of here for a little bit. We have a third hour. If your radio station doesn't cover our third hour, listen online. Hopefully we're back online working correctly. At dirtdoctor.com, I'm Howard Garrett.